Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
I was in Washington, D.C. last Sunday, and I just couldn't quit thinking about y'all all day. I was wondering, how John Franklin's doing. Wonder how Billy's doing. And just thinking about all of you all last Sunday, and it's good to be back with you. And what a good crowd we've got for a rainy Sunday. Amen. Not all the seats are full, but I want to tell you what, the Holy Spirit's full. And He's right here with us, and we're going to get to experience Him already in a fresh and new way this morning. If you love Jesus, I don't know, a lot of you are Baptist, and I don't know how you praise the Lord, but if you love Jesus, let's give Him some praise this morning. Amen. Amen, amen. And Billy, I want to thank you for filling in for me last week as well. And I heard John Franklin really hit a home run last Sunday morning and had a great message. And then the prayer meeting at Carol and Billy's house this past week was awesome. And God's moving. Just get in. Just find out where God's working and get in and join Him. Amen? So if you're in the book, we're journeying through Jonah right now. We're in Jonah chapter 3. And I think we'll let's honor God's word by standing this morning. And I think I'll start there with verse 10 of chapter 2, because that's kind of where we left off two Sundays ago. And then we'll move down through all of chapter 3 as we speak this morning. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not, say I'm almost there. All right, Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, and then we'll read the first four verses of chapter 3. So the Lord spoke to the fish. Let me say that one more time. So the Lord spoke to the fish. How many of you know God speaks to all of us? As a matter of fact, God spoke through a donkey in the Old Testament. And He's still speaking through donkeys today. It's amazing, you know, how long it takes to get. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." That was the message. You've got 40 days, and then it's all over. 40 days to turn or burn, repent or perish, get right or get left. Please be seated. Now, have you got this picture in your mind now? I mean, Jonah is laying on the beach. He's surprised. And I don't know which one's happier, the fish or Jonah. But Jonah's laying there on the beach. He's dazed and confused. He's covered up in seaweed. He's surprised he's alive. And he's stark. His skin is bleached stark white. And he has no hair. What we've got here is an albino street preacher. Okay? And I mean, everywhere Jonah went, everybody knew what had happened to him. I mean, he couldn't hide from anybody now. And he's living proof that God will restore backslidden sinners. And how many of you understand God is a God of grace and mercy? if you don't understand that, I need to sit down and talk with you for a minute today. But Jonah's, you know, and so can you picture Jonah in your mind? Now he's laying there. God's finally gotten his attention. And how many of you know God has a way of getting your attention? Man, I hate to go to the woodshed, but he takes me there from time to time. And so, but that's what happens when you run from God. That's what happens when you run from God. And God will always take you back, though, when you return to Him His way. But the scars of sin always remain. People get this confused. They think that forgiveness means that there's no more consequences. If I went out here tonight and got Cootie Brown drunk, I mean just sloppy drunk, and hit a tree, and that glass came and severed my arm, would God forgive me of the sin of drunkenness? Yes. Would I get my arm back? Constant reminder of the sin in my life. You see where we're coming from? And so God will restore you, but the scars of sin will remain. And so just remember that. And so every time somebody saw Jonah, they understood Jonah had been in a whale of a mess. But God is a God of grace, and He's able to take us where we are and get us to where He wants us to be. Amen? Amen? All right, so let's get started here. God's will is always best for us. Now, let's look at Jonah's proclamation. Let's kind of unpack that. That's the first movement here in chapter 3. Notice the Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Jonah thought he could run from God. How many of you know you can't run from God? He's everywhere. I mean, you cannot get away from Him. God is omnipresent. You can't go anywhere where God is not. Well, Jonah found that out. And everywhere Jonah went, God went. And Isaiah 43 and verse 2 says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." Hebrews 13, 5 says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Great promises from God. And so God never left Jonah. And He's pursuing Jonah, and He's challenging Jonah, and He's convicting Jonah, and He's wanting Jonah to accomplish what He wants done. And you know, here's the deal, folks. God is a God of second chance. If they were doing an advertisement on that, you know who the poster child would be on the billboards around town? It'd be me. God is a God of second chance. He is willing to use anyone that will allow Him to clean them up, and He'll use them till He wears them out. God is a God of second chance. The Bible's chock full of folks like that, aren't they? I mean, think about Moses. He murdered a man. Think about David. He committed the sin of adultery and then murder also. Noah got drunk. So did his nephew Lot. I mean, think about Simon Peter. He denied and lied that he even knew the Lord. And John Mark quit on the mission team, turned tail and went back home, left the mission trip. And yet God used every one of these men greatly, even after their sin. Our God is a God of second chance. And I want to tell you, no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you think you might have done, God can and still use you. He just simply loves people. Did you hear that? God will use anybody. And so the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the Bible says, the second time. The second time. And he was to go to Nineveh, that great city. Now, Nineveh was not only great in size, she was great in sin. The city of Nineveh was about, probably population-wise, or somewhere around 600,000 people. 600,000 people. Now, the Bible only records, you know, the genealogies in the Bible just record the men, the women and the children, unfortunately, are not even counted. And so there's probably close to 600,000 people that are living in this city. And it was built on the Tigris River. There was even a river that ran through the city. And there was a 100-foot wall that surrounded this city. and you could get three chariots abreast on the top of that wall. I mean, this is a huge city, impregnable. And the Bible says that the circumference of the city was about 3 days, 60 miles around. And so this was a great city, but it was also great in sin. I've told you all about the Ninevites, the Assyrians. I mean, they were an awful, bloodthirsty, violent people. And the things that they used to do to their enemies were atrocious. They would skin people alive. They would impale people on poles. They would bury people in the ground, leaving their head exposed to the sun and all of that. They would cut folks' heads off. We thought ISIS had... No, ISIS doesn't have a monopoly on that. That's been going on since Nineveh. And they would pile their skulls up at the city gates, and they were... Oh, and when they came through a town, they would even kill the women and children just because they didn't want to take care of them. These were an atrocious, violent, bloodthirsty people. And their sin had come up all the way to heaven in God's nostrils. And He's about ready to destroy them. But He wants to give them one more chance. And so He calls. Now, Jonah hated the Nineveh. The Israelites hated the Ninevites. They didn't like the Assyrians. And you can understand why, can't you? I think that was Jonah's big problem. He was such an Israelite patriot. And he couldn't forget all the things that these people had done to his people. And so the word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time, and he was to go and preach a strong message. Turn or burn. You've got 40 days and then it's all over. God's going to destroy every one of you. At least that's what he was hoping. He wanted them to burn. Anytime you see the number 40 in the Bible, they were going to be given 40 days of grace, okay? And God always has deadlines. Now, we don't know what those... How many of y'all... Have y'all ever heard of the evangelist J. Harold Smith? Anybody? Well, today, or sometime this week, Google J. Harold Smith. He preached one of the finest sermons I've ever heard in my life called God's Three Deadlines. God has deadlines. You remember how long Noah preached to the people? 120 years. And then after 120 years, what happened? And Noah's message was repent and get in the ark. Who is the ark of our salvation? Jesus. The message has always been the same. Repent and place your trust and faith in the Lord God. And so, the Ninevites are given 40 days of grace. And I want to tell you, God is a God of wrath and judgment. The number 40, I meant to tell you this, is very significant in the Bible. Anytime you see the number 40, it is about a time of testing or a time of judgment. For 40 days before Jesus began His public ministry, you remember, He had a time of testing in the wilderness. He was fasting and praying, and then the devil came to tempt Him. You remember that? Noah's flood. How long did it rain? 40 days and 40 nights. Judgment fell on the earth. You remember the Israelites? How long did they wander in the wilderness because of their sin? 40 years. You remember Goliath? He challenged the Israelites. How long? For 40 days. And so, time of testing, time of judgment. And so, Nineveh was going to get 40 days before God was going to destroy them. But He first wanted to send His prophet Jonah to preach that message of repentance and faith. And by the way, that's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came. He left. Can you imagine leaving heaven? Y'all, I had a dream last night. Well, this thing's still popping, Don. I had a dream about Brother Shep last night. It must have been the nachos I had before I went to bed. But I remember everything about the dream. But you know what I came away with that dream with? God's grace and God's mercy. God is a God who will use anyone, anywhere, anytime, if we'll just get usable. Look at your neighbor and say, He wants to use you. Now look at your other neighbor that you won't speak to and tell them, God wants to use you. Help us, Jesus. All right. There is a deadline. There's a deadline. God has deadlines. But His great desire is to, He's not going to make anyone trust Him. He gives us free will. And so there's a time, I know not when, there's a place, I know not where. And that deadline is up. And so Jonah goes to the city to preach. And by the way, let me say this. It really doesn't matter what God calls you to do. Someone has well said, the will of God will never take you where the grace of God can't keep you and the power of God can't use you. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? That is a great truth. The will of God will never take you where the grace of God can't keep you and the power of God can't use you. You better write that one down because you're going to need it. Because God's going to call us to do some tough things. Tough things. All right, that's Jonah's proclamation. The next movement here is Nineveh's humiliation. Look at verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. So the people of Nineveh believed God. That word believe is the same word that Genesis talks about when Abraham believed God. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, listen to this, y'all, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? And so we see on the very first day that Jonah is going through Nineveh or around Nineveh, people fall under conviction of their sin and they are humbled. How do you know that? How do you know? The Bible says that they believed God. That's the word for faith in the Bible. That's the word, the Greek word in your New Testament is pistis. It means faith, to believe. They trusted God. How do you know they trusted God? Well, look at this word over here in verse 10. Then God saw their works that they turned from their evil way. That word turn there, that's the New Testament word, metanoia, repentance. These people heard from God and they believed God and they turned from their sin. That's the word repent. Now, having said that, let me say this. When Jonah began to preach, don't you love this albino street preacher? I mean, I could just see him. Y'all got 40 days and then you're going to burn. I'm okay. I'll just let it squawk. And immediately, a holy hush fell over the whole city. You know what I've learned, Billy, in a worship service like this one? When God's really moving, it's not when people are standing up waving hands and praising God. When God's really moving, it's quiet as a mouse. Because the Spirit of God Almighty, that's what's going on here in Nineveh. Y'all with me? Prayers of confession and repentance began to go up on an hourly basis. And the whole city received the Word of God and began to call upon the Lord to forgive them of their sins. And by the way, the waves of this great spiritual awakening, this tremendous revival, went all the way to the palace. The common people heard it first, and then the king heard it. And he made a decree that everyone had to fast and put on sackcloth and ashes. Now, let me explain that to you. Sackcloth is what we would consider probably something like a burlap bag. It was coarse and rough. And then they would sit down and pile and heap ashes on their head. And that told people that they were in a period of mourning and fasting. And he even decreed that the animals needed to repent and get in sackcloth and ashes. You know, I got to thinking about that, and I've met some dogs that need to repent. I used to visit a widowed lady down in Wayne County about once a month, and I would go to her front door and knock on it, and she'd see me, "Oh, Brother Cal, come on in." Well, she had this dog. And that dog would show me his teeth every time I was there and smile at me, you know, and act like he was going to bite me. And then she'd tell him to be quiet. And then I'd come on in. She'd sit down on one chair and I'd sit down on the other chair. And that dog would sit down in the middle of the floor, lay down there and look at me. And I would speak to the dog and the dog's tail would wag, you know. And I'd visit with her 15, 20 minutes, sometimes half an hour. And I'd get up. And this happened every time I went to see her for about six times. As soon as I would get up and turn like this and head to the door, guess what? That dog's biting me. And I finally said, "Miss White, I've made my last visit here to your house because your dog won't repent." No, I didn't say that, but that's what that dog needed to do. The king, what's going on here, y'all, is we know that dogs and cats and animals can't repent. But have you ever seen a funeral procession, a carriage being pulled by horses, and the horses are covered in black? You ever seen a funeral procession? Well, that's what's going on here. The whole city's in mourning. Over what? Their sin. And they have repented. They've turned from their evil way, from their violence, from being so bloodthirsty. They have turned from being unjust. That's repentance. They've turned from their sin, and by faith, they believed in God. Whew. You know what? That's what needs to happen in Clarksville. That's what needs to happen here. Y'all think about that with me just for a minute. What would it be like in Montgomery County if every one of us, not 600,000, but about 200,000, place their trust in faith in Christ by repenting, by turning from their sin? I'd be a better spouse. You'd be a better son or daughter. You'd be a better worker. You'd be a better classmate. We'd be a better everything, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we? Isn't repentance and faith what this city needs? That's what Nineveh needed, and they got it. Why? Because God is a God of grace and mercy. Y'all, this is the greatest evangelistic event in the entire Bible. And I've said all of that to say this. I want you to look at verse 10. God's affirmation. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And now this next word is very, very interesting. It says that in my New King James Bible that God relented from the disaster that He had said He would bring upon them, and He did not do it. He did not do it. He was going to destroy the city. But after the people repented of their sin, after they changed, God changed not his mind, but his course of action. So, you know, if God could change his mind, he wouldn't be God. Because that would mean that he'd made a mistake in the first place. And so the better word here is the word relent. Malachi 3:6 says that God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you see, because Nineveh changed, God changed course of action Didn't change his mind. He changed course. And God does that. But whatever decision that God's made is always right. And so what we've got here, God's immutable. He can't change. And let me just, what we've got here, how many of your Bibles say that God repented? God doesn't repent of anything. Unfortunate translation there. God relented. He didn't change his mind. Let me have this thing. Thank you. Let me just put it like this. What we've got here is anthropomorphic language. Anthropomorphic language. Say that with me. Anthropomorphic language. You can't walk out of here and say you hadn't learned anything yet. And here's what anthropomorphic language is. We know that God doesn't have, that God the Father doesn't have literal eyes, literal hands, literal. You know, the Bible does say that God, you know, it talks about His hands and His eyes. But see, that's the Bible's way for trying to explain God. Anthropomorphic language. God has a heart, the Bible says. But we know that it's language that we can understand so that we can begin to understand what God is like. God's not saying, oops, I made a mistake. He's saying, they've done what I wanted to do. Now I'm going to do what I need to do with my divine nature. I'm going to spare them. Did He just excuse their sin? No. He forgave them of their sin. That's what Jesus did. And that's what Jesus does. I'm so grateful for 2 Corinthians 5:21. Does anyone know what that verse says? Let's read it together. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5:21. That's over in your New Testament. Right after the book of 1 Corinthians. That's a big help, wasn't it? Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians. For He made Him who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us. And here's the good part. That we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Our sins were not excused. They were simply forgiven by the blood of Jesus. God does not change. He relented from sending destruction on Nineveh. And they repented, and so God relented. Let's say that together. They repented, and God relented. So Jesus, how do I say it? He's both lion and lamb. And if you don't repent of your sin and trust God, you're going to meet the lion of the tribe of Judah. But if you will turn from your sin and forsake it and trust Christ by surrendering to Him, you'll meet Him as the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the whole world. Here's what I wanted to get to today. This Jesus and General Jackson rally. If God could save 600,000 Ninevites, and God doesn't change, Malachi 3:6, could God not save 200,000 Clarksvillians? Well, Brother Cal, you're crazy. I believe in a God who's big enough to do it. Amen. And you know what? He's waiting on us. We're not waiting on Him. He's waiting on us. And if we're going to be really truthful with one another, some of us have some issues like Jonah had. We don't like so-and-so. We don't want to have to deal with them up here. But I want to tell you, one thing we've learned in the book of Jonah, God loves everyone. There isn't anyone that God doesn't love.
Jesus paid the price for every single sinner so that everyone that's ever born could be forgiven of their sin. And today, if you're here and you have not turned from your sin and trusted Christ and Christ alone to save you from all your sin, if you'll simply humble yourself and bow yourself before our great, mighty, and awesome God and agree with Him about your sin, that your sins have separated you from Him, and with faith just say, I give you whatever time I've got left. I surrender my heart and life to you. I'm yours, you're mine. God will receive anyone. Amen. He'll take you and change you and clean you up and make you into a trophy of His grace. Our God is so good. He is so good. And that's what He wants to do in your life today. And that's what He wants to do in Montgomery County. That's what He wants to do all over the world. Would you pray with me? Just bow your head wherever you are. Not going to be a long, drawn-out invitation today. I just want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Word. Father, I believe there are some people in the seats here today. Their lives have never truly been transformed by the power of God. Their lives have never really changed. They're no different today than they were when they claimed to have met Christ. And they need the power of God on their life this morning. And I pray that you would give them the faith to trust Jesus, to surrender all to Him today. And I pray for those of us that are saved, Lord, that You would move in this place, that You would give us that Acts 4:31 experience, that You would give us a Holy Ghost experience and provide boldness, like that boldness that Jonah had when he went to that great city, and that we might be Your witnesses. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now's our time of response. And if you're here this morning and you prayed to receive Christ, or you need some help doing that, or maybe you're like Jonah, you're backslidden, you've got sin in your life, and you need to repent and turn from it, that's what this old-fashioned altar here is for. We've got prayer warriors all over the building. We'll be glad to pray for you, pray for your family, whatever it is you need. You feel like God's trying to say to you this morning, we're here. But you've got to respond in obedience. You stand as we sing, and you come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.